I would have got shot for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
I would have got, with my luck, I would have got shot right in the neck. Yeah. I did take the Shahada before I actually reverted by accident. Mm. The one as a kid, they taught me how to speak Arabic only. Mm. Like in kindergarten or something. And they sent me to school. And the teacher would, like, you know, they show you pictures of things, and I would just speak in Arabic. Like if it was an apple, I go, Tefahash.
Yeah.
This is what they told me. I don't know if it's true to the, but they school called my parents and they're like, your son is deaf and blind.
What?
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. You guys are going to be the 51st state.
No. You want to start a war here.
Yeah. How are we doing? What do you think? Would you rather have Tim Hortons or In-N-Out?
That's
like a false equivalence.
Yeah.
Who said it was equivalent? You have to pick one. The other one you don't get.
We have a Lebanese community in Windsor, but it never felt like, I always felt I was in the middle of Lebanese and Canadian, like white, basically, because I didn't feel I was Lebanese enough, whatever that meant.
Yeah.
And then when I would go with the Canadian friends, I would feel sometimes the difference, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The distance.
Yeah. Bro was trying to convert AI to
successfully, by the way. Yeah. Successfully.
Drake or Kendrick?
Jeez. Okay,
I can't
Steve.
Really say, yeah, I can't really okay.
You gotta go Drake. You gotta go Drake for your
You'll get in trouble, bro.
Sorry,
I can't say that.
Because none of them said free Palestine, bro. That's what.
And they're all at the Diddy party, so.
Can I separate? I mean, not all of them.
Yeah. Can you separate the music from
sometimes,
the
artist? No. I feel like for other movements and causes, everyone is there.
But that's messed up.
Follow the money.
You're supposed to have intersectional solidarity.
You know, I'm on your side.
Like, what do you think sets Rami apart that gave him that edge that, like, mashallah, he's in the position that he's in now? Because
I believe he wants, you know, everyone to succeed and be better.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Habibi House podcast. We have a very special guest today, Dave Merhej.
Yes, sir.
Coming all the way from Canada by way of Lebanon.
Pretty sure he lives here.
Yeah, I live here.
And now he lives here.
I didn't fly in today.
No.
From Canada. I do like the touch, the gentle touch on my shoulder.
You do?
Oh. Yeah, to intro somebody. I've never been touched on an intro.
Oh, man.
That's like a lot of intros. That's like,
there's a lot of intros on podcasts. Yeah,
we love you over here. That's why.
Well, hey, it's, you know, my heart is warm. You know,
this is the Habibi House. We got a touching show.
It stays in, you know, it's the culture.
Yeah.
It's a very touchy culture.
It is.
In a bad way.
Are you okay with that? Are you a touchy guy?
I'm Lebanese.
No, white people are not okay with
that.
Yeah,
they're not okay with it. They're not okay.
You know, you walked in here and you had an earring and a tracksuit, and I thought I was looking in the mirror. So
because
that's just my, like, go-to uniform.
Earring and tracksuit?
Yeah.
Well, nice. Do you have an earring on both sides?
No, just one.
One, okay, nice.
Is that the...
It's a lion.
Which side is it?
It's the left.
I mean, I got two. I always wanted two.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Just the stud, like one stud each?
One stud each. Yeah. I had a stud when I was younger.
Because you're a stud.
You're a student.
I am a stud. I want this podcast to know I am a stud.
Oh,
I mean, stud during the day, stud at night. What is this?
Shabab?
Shabab, yeah.
Oh.
I might have to hit them up.
Yeah.
That's a fire track suit.
I got it in Montreal at Narcy's shop.
Oh, that's where it looks familiar. Okay.
Yeah.
Shout
out to Narcy. If you're in Montreal, go shop.
You guys could be related, to be honest, now that I think about it.
We do look like it is a very bald headed, glasses, Middle Eastern.
Salt and pepper beard.
We look the same. I look like 52 other Middle Eastern people, a couple Greek guys, random Italian, and probably a Jewish guy. A
couple Jewish guys,
Do you get that one often?
I get a lot. I get Jewish guy, light skin sometimes, which that makes me happy.
Really?
Light skin what?
Light skin. Black guy.
Light skin black? Okay.
What type of light skin?
Yeah, what did you say?
I'm looking at you, and I'm like, I don't see it.
Yeah, that's just your opinion, but I there's other... Look, it was one person said it. Years and years ago. I've held on to it.
I can see that.
Yeah. Also looking into your history.
Soul.
your soul. You were born in Windsor.
I was. Windsor, Ontario.
Yo, high five. Me too.
Me too. Me three.
What?
Yeah.
Did you tell me this before?
I don't know about him. He's made this up, but I've actually was born in Windsor.
What's the name of the bridge that connects the two?
Ambassador. I mean, there's a new one too.
There is the Gordie Howe. No, not the Gordie Howe.
They got a new one. But
they
do
have a new one. He is right. They built one right next.
Isn't it for just the trucks now or something?
Yeah. Did you tell me you were born? Because
I told
out.
You, yeah, I was born in Windsor.
But you, but you didn't. How long?
My uncle knew you in. I grew up in Detroit, but I was born in Windsor. My mom's family is all in Windsor.
Oh, that's
and my
what I
uncle
mean.
Sam Samuel Mace. You went to high school with him.
Oh wow,
the boxer.
Yes.
And I told you that he told me that he.
No, he's. Am I older?
I don't. I think you're the same age. Maybe he's older.
As your uncle?
So my uncle went to...
He's got
to
be older.
Went to high school.
No, I'm older than him, yeah.
No, I'm saying his uncle's got to be older than you.
No, he might be he might be the same. I'm 44. He might be the same age.
Yeah, he's the same age.
Yeah, yeah.
You have an uncle
he's
that's
friends
44?
With my my cousins and people I know more.
Yeah.
Like a legit blood uncle that's 44.
Yeah, my uncle was a 7-time Canadian heavyweight champion in boxing.
He's come to shows.
Yeah. And he loves you. Every time we see, he's like, "Bro, get a link with Dave, bro." I'm like,
but he's friends with my cousin, maybe Anthony Moss, that whole group. Yeah.
Shout out to that,
dude. You don't give 44. Mashallah.
You give skin at least like 42.
40. Yeah. I'll take that.
No, I'll
take 40.
37.
Man, like, you don't look at
39.
37.
That's funny. I was making fun of someone when they were like, when they go, "Hey, man, you look like you don't look 44. And then they go, "You look 38. I go, "It's the same thing.
Same shit.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
What's the threshold you pick? Because it's like, I think past 25, you basically up to like 30-ish, you're kind of there. And then what's the next threshold that you pass?
I think everyone thinks that they're not old until, you know, they think like another 5 years is like old. And then they reach 30 and they're like, well, 30 is nothing. 40 is nothing.
Like, what's the next stage after? Like, the
I don't, I think I physically, like, as I was walking here, I hear a click in my right leg.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't even know what that is. I'm like, wow, that's another old
thing.
That's
how you
thing.
Know.
Is it your ankle?
It's this underneath. It's like where the knee is on the right side. Okay. I don't know why, just clicking. So
have you ever had an injury there?
Maybe you need
don't
to
think so.
Change your oil or
something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Put
your seatbelt on. How many miles is it?
Not a lot of miles, but that's the next phase. I guess that's the phase. You
where
feel
you
like
randomly.
Just that, and I also feel like less, not that I don't feel less social, but like my annoyance is higher.
The battery.
Bandwidth is like, and I'm fine with not being, I almost said cared for. That's not good. Mm. But I don't have to hang out, but like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't have
cared
to.
Cared about, maybe?
Well, just like, I don't need to be at like the FOMO. Like, I'm like, okay, it's all, I guess I could be more by myself now. I don't know if that's healthy, but I'm like, you know, I'd rather, you know, sometimes just watch TV and just be left.
And then
when
you hit 45, it's get off my property.
Well, I don't have property, but yeah, I'll be
if you ever,
property.
If we ever,
if
own
I ever
property,
get property,
yeah.
I will. That's the first thing I do when I get property. Is just tell people to get off my lawn.
Turn Republican. Real
quick. He's like Rocky on a chair with a shotgun.
No, America. I probably like, I don't know how, I'm too terrified to hold a gun, so I'd never do that.
Well, congratulations. You guys are going to be the 51st state.
No, you want to start a war here.
Yeah. How are we doing? What do you think?
That it'll happen?
Yeah, it's a good thing.
No, it's a bad thing. I think your leader's nuts. You know, it's like when you listen to him talk, it feels like, I don't know anything about politics, but when I shouldn't be able to listen to the leader of your country and be on the same page.
like
I shouldn't
super
be like,
relatable.
Yeah, he shouldn't speak that way as well. He speaks like a fourth grade. Like he, for that type of position, he shouldn't talk. Like when he talks, I feel I'm getting stupider. Like it's the choices that he, and it's not like, you know, everyone kind of, people make fun of him and it's like the same thing they make fun of him about, but I legitimately feel when I listen to him talk, he sounds stupid because he like takes, like the sentence isn't full. Uh-huh. He takes certain words out.
He's appealing to his
base. Like a comedian. He's like repeating, he's like Chris Rock. Man, the thing about
not even that I feel because he used to like he would be in the WWE. Yeah. He's like a wrestler, playing like a heel almost. Like,
and
but
their audience is like, you know,
it's just sad. It's kind of sad when you look at him and you're like, you know, you it's like no empathy. It just feels like reckless. It feels like an abandonment of like any kind of human dignity. And then people like make jokes about it, and we like. you know, people will laugh, and you're like, I think it's going to cause way more harm. Mm. It's just like you, I get you can make impressions of them and mock them, but I think at the end of the day, and maybe I'm being too dramatic, it's like it's detrimental.
No, oh, no, we like, know.
There's real life consequences. Like,
we know it's detrimental, but we can't do anything about it, so why not sit back and laugh, you know?
No, I know, like, I'm not saying don't laugh, but it's like when you say, like, I think, not, I'm, you know, you, I know you're joking with the 51, but it's like you say it, you're like, bro, this guy's really about
the silver lining is that Canada and Mexico have never been more unified, I think. Like,
well, Canada is getting unified.
That's what I'm saying.
Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. We're
elbows up. Is that what they're doing?
I mean, wait, is that a hockey team?
Yeah. I don't know. That's what they've been saying.
We did beat you guys at a hockey. I mean, that was like not going to. That's one thing, you push Canada, but you don't want to enrage them playing hockey.
Yeah, and right after they won, they're like, sorry. Sorry. You go to Timmy's, I'll get you some Timbits.
Yeah, Timbits slap. Yeah, they do. Come on.
So would you rather have Tim Hortons or In-N-Out?
That's a false equivalent.
Yeah.
Who said it was equivalent? You have to pick one, the other one you don't get.
Tim Hortons coffee, yeah, for sure. Mm. But I mean, I think In-N-Out is like, once you visit here and you try it once, I think, like, I've tried it a bunch, but I think I'm over it. Mm. Like, there's other burger places in LA. Yeah.
I call In-N-Out Old Faithful. Like, if you want to scratch the itch, you get that, but it's not like the best.
Yeah,
burger.
Exactly.
You just swap it out for a McDonald's, like, a Krabby Patty. You know, it's a good substitute for any of the other. I'm saying exactly. So it's a good, like,
but the Big Mac.
Also,
the Big
Mac's amazing.
Big Mac in the Middle East, though, is different.
I feel like anything in the Middle East that's fast food is done amazing.
For sure.
Like, I had the Tim Hortons in Dubai.
Really?
Yeah. What is it?
The like McBooza?
They do.
The
Macarabia.
McCrispy.
McCafta.
Somebody sent me a Taco Bell Ramadan.
Oh, yeah?
Like, deal or something. Yeah. Like, and I was like, that's great.
That's crazy. Wait, when you went to Lebanon, did you go to the McDonald's?
No, I think I went to the Dunkin' Donuts. Mm. We walked to the Dunkin' Donuts. I did do that.
How was it?
I loved it, but I do love Dunkin' Donuts, so it wouldn't have been, you could have put me anywhere, but it was funny we walked like maybe like an hour to get to this Dunkin' Donuts for some odd reason.
Yeah. Who would you go with?
It was, I think it was Paul and Reem.
Paul,
yeah, who you know.
Paul and Dave and Reem.
Yeah, you know them.
Shout out to Reem and Paul. Yeah.
Very funny comedian. So I think they were probably annoyed because it was like a 45-minute. Because it was me. I wanted it badly. I was like, I wanted
the cold brew they got at Dunkin'. It was, you know, this is pretty good.
All right, enough of these mega corps, okay? Okay, let's go support small business, okay.
Support small business.
Let's go to a Yemeni coffee shop.
Kamaria or something.
Kahwa House.
Yeah. Or the, is it S-A-N-A? Sana? There's one on Hollywood. Is that just opened up?
Yeah, it just opened up.
Yeah, yeah.
Sana Coffee.
Shout out there.
Yeah, shout out them. Yeah, we also got Cowboy.
Saffron
Cowboy had a segment on our show. She has delicious, like,
man, it's doing Ramadan. All we're gonna talk about is food and the food we want to eat right now.
I haven't needed coffee as much as I do this morning.
I have it at night.
Yeah, but what time though?
Right after,
yeah, same.
No, actually, I had it last two nights in a row at 11 o'clock at night. But I went to 7-Eleven.
The life hack is to wake up super early and have coffee.
Now it's easy.
Then I go back to sleep after prayer.
Yeah.
Mm. Is that bad? That's what I mean. I mean, I'm down
in
with
that. In terms
of
scientifically, it's probably bad.
Better?
No, it's probably better to just stay awake and then nap later. Like, when you're hungry, you just sleep, right?
Yeah.
So why don't you just nap later?
Wait, do you fast?
Day? When I have fasted.
This guy's mansplaining.
I'm just
saying. He's mansplaining fasting. He's Christian.
No, I like that.
Yeah. Doesn't fast.
He's Christian-splaining fasting to us.
No, I'm not Christian. I'm saying, like, it's more on the fitness realm, basically, if I were to wake up really early, I would have the coffee and then fast all as long as I possibly could.
Yeah, it's
and
smart.
Then and, sleep. Then and then sleep in at, like, 2 p.m. and then wake up, and then you only have to, like, fast for a couple more hours.
There you go. I'm going to do that tomorrow.
This is a hack people do.
Tomorrow?
So you could work out. So when you're working out, let's say you work out at 4 a.m. or 5 a.m., you could still have all the water, right? You're still able to.
Yeah, no, this is way smart. You know, sometimes too with you is like it feels like. But I don't. I know you're joking.
Yeah.
Because you have like
commit to the bit.
No, it's like your tone sometimes. Because I have a friend like that too. It's sarcastic, but you're not being like. Does that make sense?
Yeah, For sure.
Yeah. What do you mean? Has anyone ever
he's
told
just
you
constantly that? Sounds sarcastic.
Yeah, but you're like genuine, but you can't tell if like I told you this last time. It feels like you're making fun of me. But I and I've been waiting to say this on here.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no,
but it's not I don't think you are
it right now. Yeah.
Let's, well, let's squash it right now because he said that, yeah, I feel like you're making fun of me, but I'm like also I feel like I love you, but like I feel like you don't like me, like you know.
No, it's just a brotherly thing. Not I don't
know. We're both miscommunicating our emotions.
It's not like I don't like you. It's just like I think you're making fun of me.
So then I'm like,
so you're putting him in a defensive position.
Oh
no! No, I mean I have trauma, so I'm not gonna put it on. Yeah, I have massive. I mean,
is it triggering a little?
No, I'm mentally not well.
Oh, okay.
I know that. So I could be, you know, a lot of times I build a narrative.
Yeah, same.
The same since
for the longest, I was like, man, this guy Dave doesn't like me. No matter what I try to do, like, you know.
And I thought you were being sarcastic because
and I said that to you, and you were like, you're being sarcastic, aren't you?
Yes. But my mode since I was like 13 is that I always feel people are crossing me.
Yeah, watch.
I'm always on the defense. So I've fought people based on how they looked at me, and I didn't talk to not fought physically. Yeah, I didn't talk to them for like a year.
Silent treatment.
Okay. Yeah, and I thought you were swinging at them.
No, no. Like a guy I knew, he's like, that's why you didn't talk to me. I go, yeah, bro, you looked at me weird at a club.
Yeah.
He's like, what? I go, I wasn't even looking at you. That kind of. So I think it's on me too. So I always thought you were being sarcastic. It's not that I don't like you. I was just like, is this guy mocking? You know, someone's like, it's because you.
I don't take any moment seriously. Like,
that's what
that,
I mean.
That's what it is.
But then you smile. Like, that's
nervous
the problem.
Yeah,
it's like you,
nervous.
You say something and then you smile. Then it just looks like hey, wait, is he making fun of me?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I'm just like, I made a joke. Like,
it took some getting used to.
If you go watch, I'll say, if you go, hey man, I heard you got that gig, and then you smile and laugh.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, why do you say it?
Praying on your downfall.
Yeah,
because
it's like most people would be like, hey man, I heard you got that gig. Congratulations.
Yeah.
You
but
do
I'm
it
actually
in a
happy for you. Like I'm showing you my happiness, and you're taking it as ironic happiness.
But do you see how like funny it is if you add a smile and a laugh to me? Then it looks like mischievous. Is that the word?
Hey man, I heard you got that promotion.
You know what I watched yesterday? Actually, sometimes I think about dying.
Oh, you did.
It was great.
See, you're getting better.
The pause. You need the
actually.
Beat.
No. I really liked it.
Oh, I appreciate it.
So maybe it's a little transition, but
before we
go
transition
into
that, I just want to say one thing about the Fezzer.
You did a really great job.
We're I love the conversation, but just there's the Fezzer thing. I think it is accurate that that's what like Allah made us wake up for Fezzer for, though, is to start like the
start
days early, because He said like we made the night for sleep. And like the day.
Yeah, I think I should do that. It's like somebody was telling me.
Not that I do necessarily.
No, but I mean, someone told me that they stay up all night and then they sleep.
It's cheating.
See,
it's
that's
cheating.
That's like.
But they argued that it wasn't.
It's not.
That's the Middle
cheating.
Eastern, like
that's what they
Egyptian
said.
Type.
That's
Ramadan
yeah.
changes.
But he's not Egyptian. But he said that overseas they do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, even in Jordan. Yeah, like everything.
So is that cheating then?
I mean, it's hotly debated.
It's
hotly debated. But like the whole environment, the whole workforce shifts in the Middle East. Like, you can come to work later. Like, you're expected to do less during the day. Like,
that's
bosses
beautiful.
Ease up. Like, yeah,
that's
people.
Why we can't get ahead every year. 30 days, we're slacking.
wait, the Middle East can't get ahead?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I mean, why can't we try that here? That's amazing.
No, it's incredible. And people are up until smoking hookah in the streets for until like 3 in the morning.
Because I feel guilty if I don't do enough work. I'm tired.
Bro,
Ramadan
like,
during the day,
Ramadan
right?
is supposed to be a different
day,
vibe.
The day.
Yeah.
During the day.
I do. I stay up like at night and try to. Because if I wake up in the morning, drink the coffee. That's probably the better way to do it.
It is. He's absolutely correct. That is the right way to do it. I just been and it kind of messed up today because I did that. I should have done what you did because I tried to go back to sleep and I was late to my barber, which then made me late to come here. So lesson learned. That I was irresponsible with my sleep.
Okay.
But you have been going to Fezzer every morning, which is
except the last 2 days.
Okay.
So
that's very commendable.
You guys met or saw each other at a Koreatown masjid, right?
No, we ran into each other at King Fahad.
Yeah,
okay, but we had met before with outside Paul's show and whatnot.
Like in the summer.
I believe
at that
so.
Place, but then we saw each other at the start of March.
Is it your show that we were at?
No, I mean, it's Paul's low-key. I was just hosting.
Performing.
I was co-hosting with him, but it's his show.
Shout out, you were talking about a show, right?
Yeah, just want to talk about
something. About the movie that he did.
I mean, Dave Marhege is a noteworthy, notable actor. You're one of the most influential people in our community. You're one of the leaders of the this age and this movement. You've opened a lot of doors for us, man. So yeah, I definitely want to talk about like your
top comedian,
new movie, top comedian, very very.
Yeah, I mean, the whole group of like Rami Yusuf, Mo, mm-hmm. May, like that whole whole Amr, you know, Hiam Abbas. I think all that whole group. You know,
you guys were trailblazers.
Oh, those are good names. Yeah, not a lot of people know those latest ones that you were just saying. Like
and then Laith, you know, who plays the uncle. There's just a whole group of people, kind of.
It's
like
the Ramiverse.
Yeah, it's true. And it's like I think it's helped everyone, kind of like be creative, but also like given a platform. And then I think it just outside of that, it just like you can see that because I didn't really have any.
Yeah, we never had anything.
I really had anything, you know what I mean? And I also was very insecure, probably like, you know, I was born in Canada, so my parents are from Lebanon, but they left like a long time ago. We have a Lebanese community in Windsor, but it never felt like, I always felt I was in the middle of Lebanese and Canadian, like white basically, because I didn't feel I was Lebanese enough, whatever that meant.
Yeah.
And then when I would go with the Canadian friends, I would feel sometimes the difference, you know, the distance. Yeah. So I didn't. And then when I started working on Rami, I think I welcomed. It was just so welcoming, and I got to learn more about my culture. I felt accepted.
Yeah. And then, feels with,
And then just meeting everyone and other artists and going to like events and other community things. Then I felt more like I guess safe.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I could like because I would be. I remember going to a Lebanese bakery in New York with my friend, very funny comedian, Natalie Akar. So you can check her out. She's really great. And she's speaking Arabic to the guy, and then I think he was like, who would be, or I just felt like out of place. I felt like, I felt not lame, but like, I felt just insecure. Mm. And I was like, oh man.
Well, like they were talking Arabic and you were like,
I can talk, but it sounds like I wasn't born there.
Yeah, same. I mean, so we all have that, I think.
But I think
she's
born there. Yeah. So, but it still made me feel like I could have been more proactive and learned the language. You know,
bro, just say a French word every three words and you'll be fine.
I knew how to speak only. I think this is what my parents told me French. Is that we do learn. My dad's name is Jean. It's J-E-A-N. But he doesn't speak French.
No, that's good.
No, they are because I reverted, so they're Christian.
That's right.
So they. So he doesn't speak French, but he has a French name. But, you know, this is from what they told me that when I was a kid, they taught me how to speak Arabic only, like in kindergarten or something. And they sent me to school.
Uh-huh.
And the teacher would, like, you know, they show you pictures of things, and I would just speak in Arabic. Like, if it was an apple, I go, tefeha.
Yeah.
This is what they told me. I don't know if it's true to the, but they school called my parents, and they're like, your son is deaf and blind.
What?
Yeah. I don't know if it's fully.
Did they put you
true.
In special ed because you said tefeha?
No, they didn't. They my mom had to teach me.
Oh, they thought because you're speaking Arabic.
And your mom knew.
That's weird, learning it as well. No, she knew, but that was the joke. I don't know if it's a joke or if it's fully how true it is. But I remember I turned it into a joke later. But I learned through, like, I really liked wrestling, so she'd give me wrestling magazines. So with the help of the school and her, I learned how to speak English. Okay, so but then I lost it. I can understand though.
Yeah.
But when I talk, I sounds choppy. It's like I'm struggling for certain
words.
You're
translating from English.
But when you went to Lebanon and you go to the Middle East,
Natalie was with me.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So we had help. She would translate. But then Paul, we went to Egypt like twice.
Yeah.
Or I went to Egypt twice. He went once, but he would try to. He has a joke about it. He would try to speak, but it sounded like slowed down. Yeah. But they would talk back to him in English.
because they know, right?
But I remember we were by the pyramids, and this guy was trying to sell us stuff, and I go, Anabadi. Shoot, and the guy goes, stop, man. stopped me. He goes, stop, man. And then, like, my friends were, like, annoyed by him. Because it was, I get it. He's sitting there. He's like, dude, I speak English. This guy's struggling to get these Arabic words out. I come on.
I think it's probably more of like
time is money. He wants to use his English on you, probably.
He was good at it. Yeah. Yeah. He was good at
those
it.
Those guys speak like multiple languages. It's impressive.
So.
But all right, so when you, I remember you were telling me about in the mosque about your reversion story, like through being on the show, on the Rami show.
Yeah.
And you're kind of getting into it. I wanted to definitely hear more about that and just how you kind of found your place in the community and being on the show.
Yeah, I kind of didn't really want to talk about it as much publicly because I just didn't, I was still learning. It wasn't like I didn't want people to know. I just thought it was at first it was very private because I was still going through the emotions of doing something, of doing this, which I didn't really expect. I didn't think I was going to do it. And it wasn't fully just because of the show. It was, you know, my friends, and I would just pray with them.
Yeah. You know, I remember it was like a community thing you're saying. Yeah, they would just, which is what you were just saying.
They'd be like, "We're going to pray. Do you want to come?" I go, "I'm religious. I'll go."
So this is relatively recent. You reverted recent, like
2 years ago, maybe almost 3 years. I would just go before that. I'm like, if we're at someone's house.
Yeah. So let me get this straight. So you grew up Christian.
Yeah.
But you didn't really practice it.
I did it when I was younger, but I always prayed when I got older before I went. Most of the times I would say, like, I'd pray before bed. And I was very, I believed in God. I wasn't like,
So the prayer kind of like routine was already a thing.
It was there, yeah. And I would always do the cross before I got on stage, like the sign of the cross and stuff. I was very like, we were a religious family. So I wasn't like, religion wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
I didn't think I would revert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I didn't, you know, I had Muslim friends growing up, but I didn't really.
Islam kind of spoke to you more.
And I would like it was the 1 year. It's like the sheikh would you know in between
tarawih prayers.
Well, I guess
bars.
Can you say? Can he was spitting bars? He's spitting bars.
No, they do sometimes.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
He was like you know when they like you go and the khutbah is like talking directly to you over what you did yesterday.
And he's
just smiling at his face. Like,
I mean, there was.
What was it?
It was that, but it wasn't like we were at someone's house. We were at a friend of a friend's house. So it wasn't like in a mosque. And I would just every night, not every night, but the nights I would go, I went that month. This was like it was 2020 or 2021.
Okay.
I didn't revert yet.
Yeah.
And I was like going a lot of the times. And I was like, this is really making sense. Mm. And I felt like it was very comforting. I would leave the tarawih and I just felt like at that time too, I'd like a few people had passed away, some from COVID and just others unrelated. And it was just like a comforting thing. And then, you know, being with the community and just learning more and the more I learned. And then it just like 3 years later, I think I reverted.
Nice, man.
So it wasn't like, it was, I would say, more organic.
Yeah. Gradual.
Yeah, it was gradual. Nice. It wasn't like an instant, like I was going to do this.
Yeah. So how do you like, essentially, how do you feel you're growing into your place in the community, the religion now? Like, does it feel pretty instrumental to your daily life?
Yeah, I think, like, I just probably need to learn more. I need to, you know, just...
all of us.
Yeah, right? There's, like, probably a vast amount of things I can learn, but I do think it's, like, the people that I meet and the intentions and...
And your connection with God.
Yeah. It's really. Just trying to get stronger and...
Well, if your For You page is anything like mine, you'll probably get an ad for a Quran that's translated. Because I think since hanging out with these guys,
you got
literally
ads?
My whole entire ads are just like Qurans and I get prayer chefs. Mats and stuff.
English translation.
Yeah, I get shifts.
We're paying as cute as algorithm. We got some people on the inside.
I get that British shit.
So we can learn Arabic. Like,
I saw a sheikh, but I think he was rapping on the radar or something.
Actually spitting bars.
He was actually spitting bars.
On the radar.
Damn.
A sheikh on the radar. Oh, that's stuff a lot.
It's a straight up khutbah.
Brother something.
He would. It would be fire.
Yeah. No beat. Acapella. You can go acapella.
But yeah, like, because both of your parents are Christian, right?
Yeah.
And you're Lebanese, full Christian. He's Lebanese, full Muslim. I'm half. So I've had an interesting, like,
half Christian, half Muslim.
So
mom is Muslim.
Mom is Muslim, dad is Christian. And so, like, my
originally from where?
In Lebanon, yeah. Like, are you asking where in Lebanon?
You know, you left. You were born in Lebanon.
I was born in Windsor, with same as you.
Oh, and yeah, then
grew up in Florida.
Grew up in Florida.
You grew up in Florida.
You guys are born, but you didn't spend that much.
I would go every summer, 2 or 3 months.
I would go every weekend and be. Yeah. I'd be in Windsor every week.
But like when you were born, did you guys like leave a week later to? Detroit.
We got the citizenship. Yeah,
my dad was bounced. My dad was doing his residency to be a doctor at Botsford Hospital in Detroit.
Okay,
so we went there for 6 years and then Florida. But anyway, long story short, yeah, like I've also have a similar experience like you, where I didn't have a chance to even like think about Islam because where I grew up in Florida, there was no masjid within like 40 minutes. And then literally moving here, and then obviously everything that went down, I was able to kind of think about that side of my life. You know what I mean?
Oh, when you got to L.A.,
Well, even when I got to L.A., I didn't even realize how many Arabs were here until, you know, 2 years ago when everyone just kind of was more proud about their Middle Eastern roots.
Yeah.
So, like, he invited me to the masjid once, and I went. So I was able to explore that side of me and that part. So I am interested, like, kind of like how you are.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is learning. Like, I didn't, like, how do I explain it? Like, I learned, it was just, like, nervous because I didn't know how I was going to share it with my family. Yeah. And it was, like, I didn't know if my, like, how dedicated I could, I could be or should be. Yeah. Like, you know, I just knew that. And also, I was... You know, you're born into, you know, my mom would take us to church. So I didn't really, not that I didn't have my own thought, like, mm-hmm. to like, or my own introduction.
You have some childhood programming, which we all do.
Yeah. So, sure. Like, with Islam, I had, like, a grown up, an adult introduction to a religion opposed to when, you know, growing up, you just, you know, you'd go to church every Sunday. Mm-hmm. And then you're told, but. Yeah.
Some people actually, even Muslim people that I've met, all religions, I feel like sometimes when they're forced to do it even more, they want to rebel against it. And like I met someone and he's like, oh yeah, my parents forced me to do all this Muslim stuff, so now I'm like agnostic or whatever it is. But
you get you're pushed. Yeah, that's
So it kind of like pushes you away. But I mean, I feel like religion is just a connection to God. Like, no matter what.
That's how I try to, like, you know, I have like a lot of friends that are atheists, or they'll just and they're always like. They always want to prove, it's like, it makes me laugh because they're always trying to be a detective. They're always like, there is no God. I go, yeah, okay, man. Like, there's no prize. Right. Like, if you pitch this thing to me and you go, there is no God, man. I go, yeah, okay, but who's this for?
Right.
I'm believing in God, like, what is he? Like, and I'm not knocking being an atheist.
No,
like,
I am. I
oh, okay. It's just, like, it just makes no sense that they're...
that they want to prove you wrong. Just like, yeah,
it's like comedians that start, they have atheist jokes. It's just like it's like this like thing. They go, oh, there's no God. Like, it's like this magic at the end. Yeah. It's like, okay, man, this is... Just preach that to, like, I'm already, for me, it's just my connection with God. It has nothing to do with an institution.
100%.
Like, I don't look at religion as an institution.
Yeah,
I think
100%.
Once you do that,
I agree.
I can see where you can start to poke holes. Right. Mine is just, and I'm not pushing it on you or anyone. Yeah. So I'm not coming here to, but I find always, like, atheists, they get that little itch when they're talking. If you go, hey, I believe in God, they get that, like they put a hat on and they're ready to, it's like, man, you're doing all this work for nothing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not walking out of here.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to change.
I'm not going to revert. Yeah.
No, and like, how compelling do you think your monologue is going to be that I'm going to give up God?
Plus that's out, bro. Like, the whole, like, atheism being more logically sound is in
it's
the past.
It's also like, you just asked ChatGPT.
Remember I sent you, remember this? No, I didn't just ask. I asked Grok, GPT, and DeepSeek to conduct an analysis. I sent you the PDF.
No, but you talk to people even with
the
analysis.
Bro was trying to convert AI to
successfully, by the way. Yeah. Successfully. They all accepted.
They took their shahada.
You said to repeat after me.
No. Well, they said...
MashaAllah, Chad.
Isn't it haram to try to convert somebody? Isn't that...
So there's no karah bid-deen. Like, you can't... there's no compulsion in religion. Conversion? So that's something that's in the Quran. There's no compulsion in religion.
Well, I did take the shahada before I actually reverted. by accident.
Oh, yeah.
What is this? I keep hearing
repeat after me type situation.
No, what happened was,
it was in the script.
When we were on, that's funny. When we were on, I think it
was. Rami's like, I'm going to make him voice one way. He's my great friend. I want him to come to heaven with me. As long as he says these words, we'll be good.
Writes it into the script. That's hilarious.
So Paul, you're next.
Second season when Mahershala Ali was on.
Yeah.
We were in a. During filming, we were just sitting in a room, and Rami and him were talking, and I think he was like, Rami's like, oh, Dave does stand up, and then we were chatting, and he was like, something about, like, I think he assumed, he just was like, you're Muslim, and I didn't stop him. I didn't correct him, because I was, like, nervous.
This is Mahershala Ali.
I went to bed.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I went home, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Mahershala,
I lied. Yeah, I lied.
Oh, wow.
So what do I do? At the time, I was living with two British friends of mine, and I'm like, I told him, I'm like, I don't know, this is bad. We're working with him. Well, just like a couple more week or a week more.
Oh, okay.
So I go to set and I tell Rami and Jared, we're in a scene. We're walking into the mosque, and then they start laughing because I'm like, dude, I can't. I feel embarrassed. And then Mo, I think, was like, take the shahada. And then they went and told Mahershala, and he came over. We went to talk, and he was like, I'm sorry, man. I shouldn't have assumed. But it was just like a funny, like, I'm like, how do I? Because I was going to not say anything.
Yeah,
I was just like, why? Because I was so, you know, I was so nervous because it's like, you know, he's so good at what he does I just kind of was like, felt like, oh, man, if I go back. Like, how do I go back and be like, I didn't stop you?
Yeah.
Because I was so insecure and scared to, like, say something.
I accepted a different religion. Like,
yeah, so I was.
But subhanAllah, man, everything happens for a reason. Yeah. Like, maybe that was, like, a little nudge, you know?
To
like, yeah, I don't know.
Hey,
like,
Mahershala Ali can convert anybody.
You took your
You're Muslim, right?
Yeah.
Yes, sir, Mr. Ali.
That's funny that you actually took the shahada just to make sure you're in line with, like, what you said.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Mo was like, you got to take the shahada, bro.
Yeah, yeah. That's like, okay. Shout out to Mo, too. Yeah. Man. That, his show is incredible,
amazing,
man.
Amazing,
also,
man.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Part of, like, this.
Yeah.
It's kind of like we got this Rami Oreo going, right? We got the Rami show on Hulu. We got the Mo on Netflix, and then Rami's coming back with another
animation
show.
Yeah. April 17, 14. Sorry.
I was
that looks super
and you
funny.
Were involved in that? Or?
I was not involved in that one, no. But as a forever supporter, I will support.
Yeah.
I'm a forever supporter. Yeah. All my friends were involved.
Yeah. No, 100%.
Paul was in it. Paul did amazing.
Everybody. Well, he told us the story, you know.
Story?
His whole story.
Oh, about his life.
Yeah.
Oh, about being
Is
a
there
Syrian?
A story that you want to tell us about?
The best story.
What story comes to mind?
Oh, well, Paul, there's many. There was,
oh, with Paul or about?
Yeah, well, Paul was in Egypt. We were wearing,
Abaya?
Yeah, I think so. And we went to this, to meet someone at a hotel.
Yeah,
to at a hotel, but they have security there at the doors. Mm. And he had a backpack.
Mm.
And we took an Uber, but when he gets to the where the trays are, he takes his backpack off and he goes to put it down, but he realizes, he goes, oh, my God, my phone is in the Uber.
Ooh.
And I go, what? And he throws the bag on the thing and runs.
Did he say Allahu Akbar?
And I ran with him. So it looked crazy that we both,
it's
like
those pranks. Have you seen those pranks when the guy dresses up like that?
In the subway in New York.
Oh, I didn't see those. No, I mean, I was scared because when we stopped and we realized, oh, my God, because they were like, hey.
Yeah.
It just looked really,
on
really
the metal
bad.
Detector?
So you ran with him. His backpack is just chilling on the.
Chilling on there. Yeah. Because he goes, my phone. And we're trying to catch the Uber driver.
Did you?
I mean, if it was.
I think so. Yeah. We have many stories. But, I mean, like, there's,
that's
like.
Funny.
Yeah.
Good thing it wasn't in America. That would have been a.
Bro, we would have been. I would have got shot for sure. Not
for
Paul.
Sure.
I would have got. With my luck, I would have got shot right in the neck.
Yeah, bro. But.
I remember when I was in Egypt, I dropped 200 guineas on the ground.
Like, is that the currency?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I use a credit card.
Oh, that was fine.
Well, I mean, I feel like cash. I just ask somebody before I go. I'm like, how much cash? And then usually it runs out after 2 days. It's never enough.
The cash, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have do you have a Mo story?
Mo Amber story.
I mean,
I think one time when we were filming, I was so tired. We were out till. We were at the cellar and we were playing pool, and I was like, bro. And he's like, no, man, we're just staying out. But I was on the couch. Like, I go, buddy, I gotta, I can't. I'm not even playing pool anymore, and I'm just kind of, like, tired out. He used to be, like, I always take Ubers. No, I'd always take the train in New York when I lived there. But it would be, like, an hour and a half home.
Yeah.
After, like, filming or something. No, he'd always be like, bro, he goes, you got to take an Uber. I go, I ain't. And I'm, like, very, like, Larry David about it. I go, you think I'm giving him $60?
Yeah.
And then he, like, called me an Uber because he was so frustrated one time annoyed by it. He goes, I'm going to call you an Uber. I go, bro, look at this. It's 58. For what purpose? They're winning. You know what I mean? Like,
I can just jump the turnstile.
You're protesting from your luxury backseat. Like,
not even the – but I would take the – the train, you know, it's like I lived in Bushwick, we would be like in not Lower East Side, the village. Yeah. So it's like in the, like
is
one
that
two.
Far?
It's just two in the morning. The trains are slower. It's not super far, but you're like, I gotta get to the L.
Yeah.
So it's like just slower at that time.
Direct.
Yeah, I did take a quick L. I took many L's.
I mean, the Shahada with Marshall Ali story is definitely
it's like a lot of L's
story.
There, but we bounced back.
Yeah, man.
Hell yeah.
I did want to say about his most show real quick, because like as a Palestinian bro watching that, like there's something so visceral about that experience. Like he painted this like his experience so well, but it felt like it applied, I'm sure, to a lot of people, but to me so deeply and personally that like it went from being funny to like being stressful.
Yeah, the last two episodes, I can imagine.
I honestly haven't gotten to the last two yet.
Oh, okay.
He's only watched
because
he only
I've
watched
been,
the first
I've
two.
I've been deterred, bro. After the screening, I've been like not emotionally
should.
Ready to continue, like as much as I want to. But
when you're ready, it gets even. There's like a point that's driven that's beautiful. Like you'll see
it's
it.
Amazing.
Yeah, no, of course, I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah,
it's just
watch.
It's not like just but you know how you throw stuff on and it's passive like entertainment.
No, it's not a
it's okay. I'll give you my
like,
password.
It's okay. We know you don't have.
We know
a
you don't have Netflix. You're not.
No, I'm using. No. I don't think I even got a password of my own. I think I might have Paramount.
I know, right? They have so.
I don't even know.
Services.
I don't believe in passwords.
Yeah, right. It's
open access.
Socialist.
But I think it's like even if you do, like there is a, you just gotta, I've seen it all.
Yeah.
I'll watch
no,
it.
No, I mean,
all,
I'll definitely watch it, but yeah.
Do you think it's going to a movie?
Or what?
Because they just ended it on season two, right? So
I think they said it was like the last season, but we'll see, right?
Yeah, I think
they're like, oh, it's the last season. You know,
I mean,
it feels like he got like
he got what he wanted to say. Right?
Not, yeah, like you know what I mean. It feels like even just talk, like it just feels like it could
end
tell
there.
Like it purified his heart. Not, I mean, I'm speaking on his behalf, but like it just feels, I don't like from watching it. You're like, it feels like he got a lot of stuff out that he probably wanted to get out from just watching it.
I mean, he got a lot out just in the first two episodes, bro. Like honestly. Like,
Yeah.
And then Omar, plays his brother.
The brother.
Mm.
Yeah,
he's so good.
He's so good.
Yeah. He's a good actor. Yeah. Is he so on the topic of acting, like I think this is something that you do well, that I've observed, is like you're good at being yourself in which you play and then also like being a good actor. Like what's the balance that you find yourself striking between like, you know, some people play just like them, their own character wherever they go, like the Bruce Willis's, and then some people just take on roles. Like, what do you feel?
Good question. Learning. I'm trying to learn because it's not like I can't say that I intentionally sometimes was doing it with knowing.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Maybe I was like I would try to like ask questions. You know, either ask an acting coach or just. As another more experienced actor of like, you know, I'm just trying to gain knowledge the whole time so that when I do get to set, I could like apply it so that can come out that way in a sense. But I remember, you know, I did a show in Canada. It's called Mr. D, and this was in 2017-18. I was like a guest role for the last two seasons. And I was very helpful there because I never done a sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like I learned a lot there, like, you know, how to be on camera and how to, you know, the Jerry D is the lead, and this show's based on him.
Yep.
And just learning from all the other actors who had I feel had way more experience, and the directors, and so there was times where I was making like, you know, probably mistakes, and I was guided in the in the right way. So I got like, you know, it was very so helpful. I'll never forget that part.
Yeah,
so I got to learn, and you know, and then I would take classes. I took classes. It's called Film Club. It's
here?
No, he's a British guy, Zaitz. He's an actor himself. Okay. But he does the classes in London, but he came and did them in New York. Okay. So I did that class before we shot season one of Rami. That's how I met Steve.
Oh, perfect.
Steve, who plays Steve, Steve Way.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we met there. And then I took another one of his classes, and that was, like, a lot of stuff I learned from there as well. And he... We're like friends now, but like back then, it was a lot of like pointers he was giving me, things
like
to do.
Like what was one thing that stuck up?
He always would say, like, you know, he would tell me, he's like, you know, you got to sharpen. You could be a good actor, but if you want to be like one of the best, you have to sharpen the knife, basically. And
yeah.
Just kind of like, because like he was saying that, he's like, you know, you could probably get casted for playing yourself.
Yeah.
That's what he would tell me. But if you really want to like take it to another level or step up, you got to sharpen. And he would tell me when I was doing before I shot the film that I did, I was like super nervous because I never did a film, and
sometimes
it was like
I think about dying.
Sometimes I think about dying. It was like a cold, like I had like a lot of scenes.
Yeah,
right?
No, I know it's amazing.
Movie. Yeah,
it's a how bit, did that? Yeah, can you tell us the story of like? I'm sure you had to audition, or was it offered? Or
that one was
they saw you and were like, "This is perfect."
Well, I didn't know. This was like still stay at home order in Canada, still COVID. I was like filming a special. I was going to film a special in Canada.
And it's shot in Canada?
It was shot in Canada, Just for Laughs in Montreal. It's on a streaming service called Crave, which is in Canada. It was called I Love You, Habibi was the special. So I went back to Toronto to get stage time because I knew a bar owner and they were doing shows. Remember, you couldn't really do them inside in the back, a back patio.
Yeah,
so I knew I could utilize
some low key.
I could, basically build the act.
The back of the truck.
Yeah.
Basically, no truck, just me,
right,
but like
right.
that kind of.
Yep.
So I was an Airbnb. I text my agents at the time. I was like, look, if you're going to send me an audition, I want to focus on this special. If there's an audition you want to send that's like important, let me know. But other than that, just know my intentions are on this.
100%.
I would say like 5 hours later, I'm in the car with my buddy who's a comic, and he's driving, and I get an email that says like Daisy Ridley attached from the Star Wars. You get it said offer, but I don't get those.
What?
So I was like,
fire.
I was like, what? And I didn't know, and I wrote back like, what does this even mean?
Because
that doesn't happen. And they're like, oh, they're offering you the role. They had then the letter sent me the director of the film, Rachel Lambert, she sent me a letter.
Oh.
And then the letter was like, I thought they got you off the streets of New Jersey when she watched Rami. She's like, then I further got into your work. And it was her and the producer, Alex Sachs. I think they had seen me on Rami, and that helped. I met with her on Zoom a couple times, and then it went from there. And then we shot maybe like 2 months later in the fall.
Wow.
So it was like, that's how.
That's awesome.
But Zaitz, going back to him, when I messaged him to help with the acting thing, he goes, you have life experience.
Yeah.
You're like older, right? So he's like, and I learned, that I think helped too. That helped me calm my nerves and it helped me apply gave me like a confidence that I needed.
Yeah.
Honestly, bro, I kind of meant it in like a really positive way, because I obviously didn't know you when I watched Rami. We met like more recently.
Yeah.
And I just felt your person, like I thought you were just playing that character completely, like fabricating it. But I found like parallels in your actual personality, just being the funny, relatable, like, you know, social, just like kind
you know
guy
what I,
that you
well,
are.
Well, I have anxiety, so it's like it's not like far off from that point.
Right.
But my head,
I think that's what I love about your comedy is like, and good comedians, like they're really like when you're going through it. And you're like going, you're like committing, and it's not like even committing, like you're acting. It's like you were really putting your.
What is a performance based?
It's a performance based, like you kind of like push it out, like you kind
of. It's an exaggeration.
So you're just
like
really good at it because it's very believable. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like this guy is going, this guy is.
Well, I try to like, even in my stand up, I'm like, I try to not lie. I try to like, if I'm going through something, let me give like, but then there's a exaggeration that needs to happen to make it funny,
right?
Like a little bit of an exaggeration.
For
so I, but it is, I try to go from like an honest,
the honest place.
You know, Rami,
it's a genuine like angle.
You know, he's such a great director.
Yeah.
Because like, I trusted him. So, and you know, he knew how to like direct me. So a lot of it was his help.
Yeah.
Like he'd come over and say a couple words and he'd help me like, you know, he'd be like, hey, I want you to add this before you start to see.
Yeah.
And that, this is like we were shooting that third season, the episode that was based on the Ahmed character.
Yeah.
And I was like having, I think, a hard time getting into this scene. And he had come over and he was like, hey, just talk about like improvise, like what you did, something happened from the last scene, and I did it, and it made me comfortable, and then it eased me into those lines in a more relaxed way. Yeah. But I think that's him being just such a good director and understanding to me. And, you know, so there was a lot of help and learning from everyone else, like Mayhem, Laith. These are all like Mo, like Steve, like everyone's like such so a, good at what they do.
Such an amazing cast.
That I think, you know, I just wanted to be as good.
Yeah.
And I've always wanted to act since I was like a kid, like younger. So I just kind of, you know, drove myself into that energy.
No, it makes sense, bro. You're as good as the people around you and like the environment for sure. And yeah, bro, Rami's obviously incredible. Like, I did want to ask you something about him. Like, what do you know about him that we don't? Like, what do you think sets Rami apart that gave him that edge that, like, mashallah, he's in the position that he's in now? Because
it feels like he's grounded. Mm. You know what I mean? It feels like there's, you know, a realistic, you know, approach he takes to things. Yeah. And I think it's like, you know, his faith. And I think, you know, I believe he wants, you know, everyone to succeed and be better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's like that. And that's what happens. Like, you know, you're the lead on your show, and it's like you lead with your energy. So I think that's how I, you know, from knowing him and I perceive, right?
For sure.
It's like he wants, you know.
Definitely seems like he's bringing everyone up around him.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's like the bringing up everyone around him.
Very Egyptian, Arab.
But I mean, not everyone does that.
No,
even if they are Egyptian or Arab, right?
We should, like,
You get, you know, you go into a mode where you're just trying to look out for yourself, which is natural.
For sure.
Because you got to take care of you or your family or your loved ones.
Yeah.
You know, you have a family and kids, so it's hard.
Yeah.
So I think he has the ability and the means as well now to, like, you know, help everyone.
What
up,
a blessing, bro. Yeah. And that extends to everyone else, like, outside of you guys' circle, and it's felt by us as well.
He's definitely a trailblazer for us.
Yeah.
As our
community. Yeah,
we're trying
and
to
it was
do
like
the
a
same.
It was a family, too. It's like I also enjoyed filming, like, the work-wise, but also I looked forward to going back and see everyone, the crew.
Yeah.
Like, for me, that was the just as more, maybe more exciting. I'm like, I knew if we went back, I was going to see everyone.
Yeah.
You know, I got 2 months or 3 months.
Is there another season or what?
I don't know. I wish I had an answer for that one, man. I wish I had, you know, but whatever, I feel like, you know, I feel whatever is going to happen, he just knows best.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I look at it. Like, I don't think it's in bad hands.
Yeah. 100%.
You know what I mean?
And I feel like he also comes from that genuine place of like true, like, comedy where, like, you see him in his set when he does his stuff, like Mo, same thing with Mo, like, it just feels like you guys are being yourselves at the highest level,
and there's intention, right? There's I don't think he's gonna put something out for, like, just the sake of putting out or money something like that. I think it's the intention and the work.
Yeah,
so the work has to make sense. Yeah, so that's how you can trust.
I have a question. Did you win a Juno Award?
I did, in Canada. Juno is like
it's like the People's
Grammys.
Choice Award, or?
Well, no, it's like the Grammy.
It's like the Grammys.
Yeah,
because
it's mostly music.
Oh, okay.
So stand-up, they had stand-up 30 years ago, but they took it out, and it came back maybe like 5 or 7 years ago, and a guy by the name of Ivan Decker, he's a comic, very, very funny.
Uh-huh.
He's Canadian. He was the first one to win it when it came back.
Oh, nice.
I think I was like the third. It was like in 2019. So it's mostly a music award show.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, The Weeknd and all these artists and, like, Cardinal Offshell, they're like, they, you know, just it's. And then they have a comedy section now.
Yeah.
With albums.
So you have an album, comedy album?
It was called Good Friend, Bad Grammar, but it was shot originally as, like, visual.
As, like,
but
a
then,
special.
Yeah, as a special. And then later on, my agent who helped produce it was like, why don't we'll just submit you for a Juno? And I'm like, oh, yeah, wicked. I knew the Junos, like, growing up through music. 100%. And then I remember landing back into Toronto with my comedian friend Ali Hassan. We were on tour together, and they were like, you got nominated. I was like, oh, whoa. And then a couple months later, it was in March, I didn't really think I was gonna win. I was hoping. And then my dad got to come, because it was in it took place in London, Ontario. So he took a train from Windsor to come hang out with me. And then the best part of the whole weekend is, like, when he got off the train, I was like, oh, man, how is the Via Rail? That's the train. And he goes, man, I've never been on a train before.
What?
I was like, yo, he's been in this country for like 30 plus years. I go, he never rode a train.
You just take straight Ubers everywhere?
Like, well, he just drove in Windsor. But I mean, it's still crazy that he didn't, like, go on. The Via Rail is like a well-known, like, it goes all the way to Montreal. Like, you wouldn't. And I was like, just having him there the whole weekend was very, he didn't know who, not Bon Jovi, like a really famous singer, like not Bon Jovi, but he had come out.
John Bovey?
he was in
Kid Rock.
Bonobox.
No, like maybe that. Yeah. No, not that guy. I'll figure it out. But someone like that, and the whole place went. There was an arena. They went nuts because they didn't know he was gonna be there. It was dark, and the lights come on, and they're going nuts. And then in the midst of it, my dad's like, "Man, who is this guy?" I just didn't know he was.
They don't know anybody.
He's all right. He's not that guy.
When I won, he cried a bit. I saw it.
No way.
Which is very funny.
That's awesome.
So it was like, I don't know. It was good for Canada because like Canada, a lot of it is like, I know we joke about, like there is a part where, you know, a lot of Canadians in every field, because the opportunity is better here in America, we come here.
Yeah.
But I think we not lose our identity, but I think we're not, America doesn't take us serious.
As Canadians.
Yeah, and I think the jokes are funny and you can make light of it, but I think at the end of the day, I think it sucks for us Canadians because we don't have an entertainment network. Yeah, you guys are a hub, so we have to pay.
We found the name of your next special.
What?
Good for Canada. Because he's a French Moroccan, I think. He said huge in France. So it's kind of like the same thing.
Well, it's like, yeah, good he had to Canada, come to...
Great. And reset, basically.
Yeah, you reset. So it's like a lot. So the Junos, I said is like, for Canadians themselves, it's an identity. They don't even support sometimes the art. Yeah. They're like, oh, he's Canadian? They go, oh, it's a Canadian show?
Drake or Kendrick?
Jeez. Okay,
I can't
Steve.
Really say, yeah, I can't really
okay,
say
you gotta go Drake. You gotta go Drake for your.
You'll get in trouble, bro.
Canadian,
I can't say that, dude. I listen to folk music.
speaking of hip hop,
somehow that was the wrong answer.
I feel like that's not true because I heard that Lil Birdie told me you freestyled at a theater in Canada once, or like a little show in Canada. Do you do freestyle raps?
No, who told you? Was that
it was Samer. He said, Atif got the intel, but Samer said to ask you about freestyling and hip-hop.
I don't know about that.
Oh,
and he also says hi, Samer.
I didn't freestyle. I was like, what did I do? I would do like a, not a freestyle. I would do like, I worked on MTV Live,
that too,
like in Canada.
That too, yeah.
So then I would jokingly, it was with a friend, it was like a long time ago, I would do an imitation of Drake where I was like, man, Drake can sell you anything, really. Mm. Like if you really listen sometimes, like his voice and his cadence is so soothing.
Yeah.
Like and I would just do this imitation of my boy. I'd be like, it always starts off like raps, but then it gets into a pocket of where he's having a conversation with somebody, but you're not listening because you're already in. So it'd be like something like, they try to cross me, they try to flip me, but you know I'm gonna come back. Girl, where'd you go? Come back here. Why'd you leave? I know you're there. Oh, you gonna go talk to your mom? I held you up, but now you did me wrong. You're like, who are you talking to?
But if you listen, super personal rap.
Yeah, you listen to a lot of, there's a creator who, this is not my bit, but he was analyzing a song, and then I guess Drake was mentioning names. Mm-hmm. Like he was just like, even that one. There's another one on the last album. He goes, then I went with Tony, and where was Tony? Then he goes, then I met Jason, and the creator goes, who the fuck is Jason?
Two different Jasons.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? So I think I did that as a joke. When I was on MTV Live, they
wanted that.
They heard it. I was just playing around.
I see.
And then they were like, you should do that. So I don't know if that's the freestyle he's talking about, but that's what
So that, that was in Samer that said about it.
But I can't rap. I want you to know I cannot freestyle or rap. I'm just a fan.
Got it.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite artist?
Of all time?
Yeah.
Oh,
or rap specific. Or folk music, apparently. Yes.
I think Tupac, I always go back to Tupac a lot. But I mean,
my uncle loved Tupac.
Yeah, he's and then it's probably because they got two generation Biggie and Eminem and like that whole generation. I think I mean, I grew up in that, but even newer, I would say Kendrick, Drake, J. Cole,
Cole's big,
you know, Miles, Miles,
who's
I don't think he knows
he's
him.
He's popping, but
okay.
Kendrick, Drake,
Smino. I don't know if you. I love
Bad Baby. Daniel Bergoli.
What? Why are you see? There's a stupid sarcasm again.
No, wait.
That's the Catch Me Outside girl, bro.
But she just dropped a banger of a song.
Yeah, that's your jam. You see what I'm with Lauryn Hill, SZA. But I mean, I don't think that's like rap.
SZA, yeah.
Yeah, like you know, Nas is my. I grew up like you know, and then just he's still you know the big amount, time. The production or the amount, the quality he's still putting out.
Absolutely.
Jay, of course, you have to like.
Can you separate the music from the person?
Yeah, because none of them said Free Palestine, bro. That's what.
And they're all at the Diddy party, so.
Can I separate? I mean, not all.
Can you separate the music from?
Sometimes
the
no. Sometimes yeah, no. If it's really
artist,
bad, it's man. I can't. And you I'm can. Like, and yeah, and I think you know they should say it, and they didn't say it, but it's didn't. Like,
especially Cole and Kendrick, that one hurt a little bit.
Yeah, I feel sometimes when it comes to that, people like step. I don't know what it is. I don't know them, obviously. I don't know what it is, but I feel like it's like. I don't know. I would tell my Egyptian friend all the time, I feel like it's when it comes to Middle Eastern stuff, I think people generally, even other cultures and races, step away.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I feel like for other movements and causes, everyone is there.
But that's messed up.
Follow the money.
You're supposed to have intersectional solidarity.
You know, I'm on your side. Yeah, I feel
but
like.
You're right. It is a phenomenon.
Like, I do feel like white people did come to the. But I mean, not as much. I felt like in other movements, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, I could be wrong.
No, white people did kind of step up.
They stepped up. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
more than
there was some black solidarity for sure, but not a lot of entertainers though.
That's what I'm saying. Is like I think it comes when it comes for some odd reason with Middle Eastern stuff. The entertainers. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, Macklemore was out there.
Macklemore is big.
You got to give Macklemore.
Yeah, absolutely.
Macklemore was really
100%.
Shut up.
Big props to our boy Tamer too.
I thought he was gonna fly over to the Middle East, dude.
He did. He's performing in Qatar.
He did a show.
Is he okay? Yeah, I was like, Macklemore is ready.
Bro, he's been standing up. That's definitely.
Yeah,
we appreciate it.
And I was on. I loved Macklemore back in the day. I just want to put that out there.
I'm the third
supporter of the heist.
Was in the third grade? Third grade?
No. Like in the third?
Yeah. No.
When I was in the third grade, he thought that he was.
Well, I love that song.
Is there anything else you want to plug? Or?
What do you got coming up?
It's a good question.
You performing? You got some.
I'm performing in Canada, but I don't think it's like, you know.
Our Canadian fans can.
Yeah.
Can
oh, they we got can, Canadian fans.
Yeah, yeah. So if you just go to my Instagram, Dave Merhej.
All over Canada?
In Ontario mostly.
Okay.
You know,
when
it's
is this?
One of the province starting next week, and then it's a couple dates in April. And then I just perform around LA when I can.
Yeah.
The home I reside
Very
in.
Nice.
You're traveling pretty soon, right? You're getting out of here.
Yeah, for 10 days, and then I'll be back. But yeah, watch Sometimes I Think About Dying. It's on Apple, Amazon. You could stream, you can rent or buy.
Or pirate.
Nice.
Or pirate.
Yeah. Sometimes I think about dying. Do not pirate.
I get a call after.
Like, yeah, right. Do not pirate. And if you
Daisy,
are,
Daisy calling you.
Did you tell people to pirate the movie?
No, I just saw there was a guy with a stroller and he bought it.
You know? Oh, I gave you
the DVD.
I am the captain.
Don't pirate. Watch Sometimes I Think About Dying and talk to a loved one.
Talk to a loved one for sure.
Sure. Yeah,
all right, Dave Merhej. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, guys.
Much love,
man.
Bro.
Sorry
love.
For
thank
being
for
late. Thank
us.
You, guys.
No, it's
no,
all
much
good.
Love,
thank
bro.
You for being
much
here.
Love, happy Ramadan.
Happy Ramadan.
Ramadan
okay.
Kareem. We got to go to the Fajr tomorrow.
I do.
We speak French.
Yeah.
Each of us. Each person.
Yeah.
Iftar. Yeah, I'm more of an iftar kind of guy.